You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. When I was living in London, I budgeted to be able to attend retreats pretty regularly, even if it was just a local weekend one every few months. And while the local ones were pretty affordable, like maybe £100 to £150 max each time, the cost did add up. The most expensive retreat I've attended involved international flights, accommodation, and car rental on top of all of the costs of actually attending the retreat itself. And that came in around 3,000 quid, pretty much using up all of the savings that I had at the time. So there's a big variation between the costs of retreats. Now, I don't earn a lot, and at the moment I don't earn anything, in fact. But I've never been a very high earner anyway. So when I did that 3,000 pound retreat, I know that the cost was very off-putting for me and could be very off-putting for others. It was also incredibly important that I attended it. It was about who I was going to see, and that's what made it worth it. But sometimes it doesn't matter how worth it the teacher might be, we just don't have the money. And that can mean that retreats seem like something only wealthy people can afford, or like spirituality on that level is only accessible if you're earning a lot, or that you have to save for years to afford attending just one retreat. I get it. Capitalism sucks. So I was thinking about all this the other day, because this year I really can't afford to go on retreat. Which is a shame, because I'm a big fan of them. They're a great way to intensify practice, to establish positive habits, or to engage with a community of practitioners. But I can't even afford rent right now. Believe me, I am super duper and immensely grateful and appreciative to my parents and my wife for contributing to covering off all of my basic needs so that I can focus on my book, but point is, I still can't go on retreat. I'm a dedicated practitioner, but sometimes I can get a bit lazy or sort of get into a rut where I'm going through the motions every day, sitting every day, but not necessarily engaging with the practice. And this is where going on a retreat is great. The intensity of practice in a retreat setting acts as a jumpstart to our everyday aspirations, like a booster shot to remind us why we do this kind of work and the many benefits of it. So I was considering this problem, wanting to go on retreat, not having the finances to go, plus also just my life is a little bit chaotic right now, and how elitist and inaccessible it seems to go pursuing a spiritual path when retreat is something that is talked about as being quite essential, but isn't always easy. Like, if there's not one in your area, like, I was lucky in London. There was one that I could take the tube to, and it was pretty affordable. But not everyone is in that kind of situation, where they have a retreat center, where they can go for the weekend and, you know, go home at night and just sleep in their own bed. A lot of the time you have to deal with all the transport costs, the cost of the retreat itself, the cost of food, possibly accommodation is kept separate from the whole thing. It adds up. But then it occurred to me, why did I have to go anywhere to create a retreat for myself? Do I have to go anywhere? I could choose to do a retreat right at home, anytime that I like. It just requires a little bit of planning. So I experimented with this a few weeks ago, and this episode is all about me sharing that experimentation, sharing what I learned, and hopefully giving you guidelines and groundwork to create it for yourself. Because seriously, it was brilliant. The result was amazing, and I do intend to do this again. I had an incredibly focused, intensely mindful half-day retreat from home, during which I meditated, I did prostrations, I listened to a teaching, and the following day I was refreshed and motivated, could easily focus, and definitely got what I would usually get from going on a retreat. So the first step, you gotta make the decision. You have to really want to create this atmosphere and stick to it. Open up your calendar, take a look at your schedule, and pick a day or two that works, even just a half day. That's what I did for my experimental one. Just look at your calendar, see what your availability is, and choose a time that works for you. And then once you've chosen the time to do it, really commit to that. Write it down in your calendar. That's the day you're going to do it. Set the intention. Be disciplined about it. And let people know. Tell people that you're going to be doing this. It reinforces that intention. It creates accountability to yourself to follow through because you've let people bear witness to your intention. And then also, you never know. It can give people the opportunity to support you, and you don't know who might want to actually help you out with it. It could be as simple as they just know not to contact you that day and not to expect to hear anything from you. Or it could actually be that they act as a support by being someone that you can check in with. I know that one of the aspects of retreat that people really benefit from is having other practitioners to debrief with, maybe after a few hours, or when you have discussion groups or something, or you have like a meditation instructor or someone in that role. So if you've got a friend who's also a dedicated practitioner, someone who you have these kind of conversations with and you think that they might be a really good support, you could tell them your intention. I'm going to be doing a retreat from home on Saturday in 2 weeks. Would you be willing to ring me at 5 p.m. and we can discuss anything? If something's come up with me, you can just ask, like, how's it going? How was your meditation? Whatever it is. So yeah, you can recruit someone to do a phone call or something like that. Next, once you've picked the day, you've set the intention, you've got to do a little bit of prep work so that you can maintain the retreat atmosphere in your home space. Our homes are full of distractions. I volunteered with the Shambhala Center when I lived in London. It meant that I would help out with cooking or setting up tea or just generally being there to make the weekend retreatants feel really welcomed and like so that they could focus on their practice, right? Every single weekend, there were at least 5 people volunteering to help in this way, and I've often remarked how many people are needed to allow another group of people to do nothing, or really to spend time just sitting and being with themselves, contemplating, connecting with their mind and body. The point is, it requires quite a lot of support around it, but I don't see a lack of volunteers or someone to cook for us as a hindrance to creating a retreat space in our own homes. We just need to do all of the work in advance, and we can do it ourselves. It's not that hard. And the basics include food and having a space. Make sure that you have 3 meals or maybe a snack or two to go with that as well, ready to go. Nothing that requires anything more than a microwave or maybe being heated on a stovetop at the most, like a soup pouch you can pop into a pot. Set aside an hour to go through and clean up the space the day before. Put away the clutter, clear off surfaces, set up an area for meditation. Do the prep so that on the day or days that you are in retreat, you're not thinking about those dishes that need to be done or that bedding that needs to be washed or whatever it is that might distract us in the space. Make sure that you put things away, any projects you might be working on, package them up, put them aside so that when you are sitting in retreat, when your retreat time starts, you're not thinking about stuff that you could be doing, which might be lying around in your line of vision within the space that you normally just live in. The next step is creating your itinerary. What do you want to do throughout the day? When are you going to meditate and for how long? What talks will you listen to? Are you going to listen to talks? Or maybe is there a book that you want to read? Choosing a theme could be really helpful, something that you want to make the focus of the retreat. So your theme could be something like loving kindness, and you could get a talk about that to listen to, as well as a book, or one or the other. Picking a theme, though. And understand, the itinerary doesn't have to be intensive. I've been to quite a few different retreats. Some are more intense than others. Some are a lot more relaxed. There's lots of space between different activities, or lots of time given to each activity with room in between. So maybe you want to do a few 15 or 20 minute meditation sessions and break those up with listening to a talk for the duration of the talk, or maybe 20 minutes at a time, something like that. Or perhaps there's a guided meditation or program that you have on an app or on YouTube, something that you've been meaning to listen to or watch, but you just haven't had the time for, because it's just, you know, it's an hour talk and you want to really focus on it. So this retreat atmosphere you're creating, it's making time for just such a thing. For example, on the day that I did my experimental half-day retreat, there just happened to be a live talk on the Mangala Sri Budi link, a talk that I want to listen to every Sunday. It's at 10 a.m. every Sunday in mountain time where I am, but I sometimes miss it because of other plans. You know, I might be out for brunch or something like that. I knew that it was at 10 a.m. on the day I was doing my half retreat. I arranged my morning to include time to sit and then to listen to the talk, which, because it was live, gave me the opportunity to ask a question at the end. So in a way, it was like being on a group retreat, because there was a teaching I could engage in, I could listen to as it was being given live, I could ask a question, I could listen to other questions, and I was connecting with the community despite all of us tuning in from all across the globe. And my itinerary wasn't very intensive. It was easy enough to follow. I sat just before breakfast, as I always do, but then I did another set after breakfast, and I broke that up with doing a few prostrations. I chose a book to read in advance, and I read that for about an hour prior to the MSB link starting. And then once the link had happened, I sat in meditation and did more prostrations until lunch, at which time I had decided my retreat was done. I didn't do a lot of set planning. It wasn't like I was like, from here until here I'll do this, and from here until here I'll do this. It was more like, okay, I know that there's a talk at 10, I always get up at 6, I've got the time to meditate in the morning, I've got to eat breakfast. Every half hour I'll switch. I'll see how I'm going, and every half hour I'll kind of do something different. So meditation and prostrations for about a half an hour, and then, you know, that was going well. I'll do it for a little bit longer. Okay, now I'm going to sit down and read for the next hour, because then the link will start, that sort of thing. So it was very relaxed. Like, it wasn't really intensive, and it was just me focusing on the aspects of practice that are more formal that I don't always get to do in my day. And at the moment where I live, it's very transitional. I'm in the midst of moving to the US after moving back to Canada from the UK earlier this year. At the time that I did my half-day retreat, I was at my parents' home, and having them around, I knew that they were going to be there, and it still didn't hinder my sense of being on retreat. If you have a roommate, you can still totally do this. Just let them know, and if possible, establish a particular space in your flat or house that will be exclusively for you to use during this time. In my case, I took over the attic library. It's quiet, there's enough space for me to do full body prostrations, and it's also out of the way of whatever my parents were up to that day. The final step. So you set the intention, I'm gonna do a retreat. You prep for it. I am going to make the space available in such a way that it feels like a retreat space, going to have a meditation spot, make sure I've got food that is easy to prep, planning your itinerary, here's what we're going to cover, my theme is going to be Tonglen, and I'm going to listen to this talk by Anupama and read this book and do meditation in between, sort of thing, whatever it is. The last step is to remember the importance of discipline, which handily was the topic of last week's show. So you can listen to that in preparation of your retreat from home on a budget. I use the Insight Timer app for my meditation sessions, as well as an app called My Mala, which I use to record my prostrations. Both of these involve me looking at my phone, right? They're apps. To prevent myself from becoming distracted by text messages or notifications, I turned all of them off. You might just want to drag any apps that you're using to a totally separate screen, maybe, so that you just don't see any of the other stuff on your phone and get tempted to go chase a Pokemon or something, right? So I also needed my computer to listen to the MSB link. That meant going into my email. So I made sure the night before that this is part of that prep, right? Clearing the space. I made sure all my emails were as cleared out as possible. And then on the day of the link, I only opened the email for the link and then immediately closed down my email once that was up and running. And I didn't look at new mail that had come in. I set the intention, reminding myself, I'm on retreat. Don't look at your email. If the internet is too big of a temptation for you, or maybe actually the whole reason and the theme of the retreat that you're going for is a break from technology, this still works. You can load an MP3 player with a talk to listen to, or you can stick with just reading teachings from a book, or you could not incorporate any kind of talk or teachings into it and just have a day of intensive meditation. And to time that meditation, well, you just use an old-fashioned timer or a clock, you know? Go old school for it. Regardless of the theme you pick, the length of time that you go for, if it's a half day, a full day, a whole weekend, the formal practices you choose, whatever you decide to listen to or read, anyone can create their own retreat right in their own home at no more than the cost of the food that you'd eat that weekend or day anyway. Whether you're a Buddhist or not, creating a retreat weekend or even just one day or even a half day is a great thing. It's an opportunity for us to tap into where things are at for us, areas where we might be feeling stuck, and find new ways to navigate with our experience. It's a booster shot, and it's something that I don't think money should determine whether or not we can do. So I invite you to pick a day, sometime in the next 2 months maybe, and plan it out, or a half day, whatever works for you. If you have limited experience with being on retreat, maybe you've only done one or two before, or you've only done shorter weekend ones, try and stick to a shorter duration. I've done a few week-long retreats as well as weekend ones, and my experience as a volunteer during retreats has given me a pretty solid understanding of what it should look like. So creating a weekend retreat for myself is something that I'm comfortable with, and I wouldn't have any difficulty committing to a full 2 days of. Knowing where we're at is so important. So only commit to what you think you can manage. If you pick a half day and afterwards decide that you totally could have done a full day, then next time do a full day. This isn't meant to be an arduous thing. It's something that you want to do. It's something that's helpful, beneficial. And that being said, if it is something you want to do and you do decide to give it a go, I would love to hear about it. I mean, I'm always keen on getting feedback on this show, but I am especially curious to hear about your experiences of running your own retreats for yourselves. So I've included my email in the show description. Feel free to send me an email. Let me know what worked, what didn't work, what tips you might offer, if you loved it, if you hated it, if you felt totally indifferent about it, whatever it might be. And then also, what I'd really like to know is, did it make a difference? Did you feel like it made things a little more manageable? Or, as I probably should say, a little more workable? Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.